40 years ago today, in Harlem, Malcolm X was assassinated. The next day, a front-page article in the New York Times described Malcolm X as a slim, 6-foot man with reddish hair and a gift for bitter eloquence against what he considered white exploitation of blacks. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports on Malcolm X's legacy.
At the time of his death, Malcolm X was widely criticized as a left-wing racist and a demagogue by both whites and blacks in American politics and the civil rights movement. Most churches in Harlem, where he lived and died, would not agree to host his funeral for fear of violence. But the actor Ozzie Davis, who recently died, delivered Malcolm X's eulogy.
Did you ever talk to Brother Malcolm? Did you ever really listen to him? For if you did, you would know him. And if you knew him, you would know why we must honor him. Malcolm was our manhood, our living black manhood. And we will know him then for what he was and is, a prince, our black shining prince.
Following his death, some aspects of Malcolm X's arguments for black power as a response to white racism were put into action. The Black Panthers picked up his famous theory of self-defense. Concentrated black political power came to be a reality in many big cities and accepted as part of the American mainstream. His friend Muhammad Ali took a Muslim name, defied the draft, and still enjoys iconic status in mainstream America. And Malcolm X's pride in his blackness and defiance of white cultural standards of beauty and intellect became a staple of the Black Pride movement. James Brown. And today's rap artists, like Dead Prez, continue to celebrate Malcolm X.
Right around the time Third Base dropped the Cactus album, but I was reading Malcolm. I changed my name in 89, cleaning parts of my brain like a baby nine.
What he has done is inspired a generation of African-American youth to challenge the system and also to be authentically black. That is, to be proud of their race, be proud of their culture.
Abel Bartley is a professor of African-American history at Clemson University.
And he has inspired a generation of African Americans who are not afraid to critique white America. And I think that is probably the most important part of his legacy.
Malcolm X repeatedly insisted on framing the black American struggle for equal rights as part of a worldwide fight by people who had been taken from Africa and dispersed through the slave trade in the Americas, the Caribbean, and Latin America. Mark Morial is chief executive officer of the National Urban League.
Remember, at the time, not only was there a focus and a struggle for civil rights in the United States, there was also many, many liberation movements taking place in Africa.
Malcolm X's focus on Pan-African ideology has a legacy today in the influence of black Americans on U.S. foreign policy.
We're trying to do a little bit of that in the Congressional Black Caucus.
Harlem Congressman Charles Rangel says that Malcolm X's philosophy offers a model of political empowerment to blacks worldwide.
We work closely with African Brazilians and African Colombians as they have come to believe that we all came from Africa. And they come here saying they don't want to go through all of the struggle that American Negroes went through. They want us to help them to organize, to get elected politically, so that they can do the same thing we're doing.
Malcolm X's Pan-Africanist views led him to criticize mainstream American civil rights leaders for not demanding human rights as opposed to pleading for equal rights under American law, the Constitution. At the time of his death, he was planning to go to the United Nations to charge the U.S. with violating the human rights of black people. Peter Bailey was the editor of the newsletter published by the Organization of Afro-American Unity, a group founded by Malcolm X after he left the Nation of Islam.
I mean, he was treated almost as though he was the foreign minister of black people in this country to the rest of the world.
At home, Malcolm X fit into a historical line of radical black leadership that includes figures such as Marcus Garvey. Malcolm X's black nationalism included the right of black Americans to defend themselves against violence from white racists, such as the KKK and abusive police.
We don't intend to break the law, because when you're trying to register to vote, you're upholding the law. It's the one who tries to prevent you from registering to vote who's breaking the law. And you got a right. You got a right to protect yourself by any means necessary.
Malcolm X's language stood in contrast to the nonviolent Christian and integrationist message of most civil rights leaders. He also called for the creation of a black nation within the U.S. But his ideas for advancing black America never gained mass support and remain absent from national debate about race today. The considerable progress blacks have made since Malcolm X's death does not account for the lack of a militant voice insisting on justice for the black underclass, according to Professor Bartley of Clemson.
Much of our leadership has been co-opted. A lot of it has surrendered, and others have decided that it's not worth the fight. You have several young people who are rappers and others who are trying to fill that gap, but they don't have the appeal that a person like Malcolm X would have, nor do they have the intellectual abilities to summarize all the problems the way Malcolm X does.
Peter Bailey edited the newsletter published by Malcolm X's African Unity Group. He argues that Malcolm's defiant black nationalism has yet to be tried in the United States.
We've never tried organizing an independent political entity that is not tied to either one of the political parties, neither Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. I hear speak about forming an independent black political movement in this country.
A separatist movement among African Americans today is even less likely than when Malcolm X died at age 39. Despite setbacks and continued racial disparities, blacks are more politically, economically, and socially integrated into American society than they were during Malcolm X's life. Dr. Abel Bartley of Clemson University.
One of the things is I think the African American community has changed since the Civil Rights Movement. And it's not a unified community. And the leadership in the African-American community right now is a leadership that is clearly divided on what exactly it wants. You have conservatives, you have liberals, you have moderates.
Tonight, all factions among black leadership will gather at the former Audubon Ballroom in Harlem to honor Malcolm X at the place of his assassination. His daughter, Ilyasa Shabazz, will be there.
The Audubon, we have actually changed to the Malcolm X and Dr. Betty Shabazz Memorial and Education Center. It's going to be an interactive, educational, and community-focused environment that would provide visitors with exclusive access to multimedia documentary and historical records on the life of our father, and also providing the community with usable space for educational, civic, and various types of programs.
The official opening of the center will come on May 19th this year, when Malcolm X would have been 80 years old. Juan Williams, NPR News.